This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of Eco Agenda. I'm Hazel.
I'm Martina.
And I'm Jamina.
This episode was inspired by the question, should women be kinder? We wanted to discuss
the social pressures women face around kindness, assertiveness, and being perceived as mean.
Are women unfairly expected to be endlessly nice?
And does striving for kindness make women seem weak? And does standing up for ourselves make us seem like mean girls?
At such a young age, we're already taught to compete to survive in a world where women aren't valued the same as men. It's like the social scales are stacked. Men take up this 80%, leaving us women to fight over the remaining 20%. By this, we mean managerial roles, media coverage, attention, just literally everything in society.
And instead of supporting each other, we're often pushed into competing against each other for that 20%, whether that's popularity, attention, or success.
And I feel like we see that as young as primary and intermediate and high school with that bully or get bullied mindset. It's everywhere, young girls being so mean to young girls. But I argue it's just survival mode. Like, we're literally just trying to survive.
It's really hard to find a line of, like, I'm standing up for myself in this situation, and whether you're standing up for yourself or whether you're doing it because you want that male attention. As you get older, you kind of realize the difference between the two, but at such a young age in primary school, all you want is friends. Whether that friend is going to be a male or a female, you got to put anyone down that's making you feel like
You just want to be liked.
You just want to be
liked. At a young
age.
Yeah. It all comes down to just wanting to be liked. And sometimes for a lot of people's situation, that meant on someone else.
And for others, it meant just doing whatever everyone else wanted you to do.
For me, that 20% that I really had a fight against was other females trying to get male attention. I constantly needed somebody in high school, some male in high school, to either date me or make me feel validated for the way that I looked, or I was smart enough that they would want to date me. I always cared about the way I presented myself. And that just shows the power dynamics that are still engraved in our society. Because I was only in high school about, what, 5-ish years ago? The fact that that is still happening is actually crazy. And I think it's really sad that I had to fight against 20% so that I can get that 80% male validation. Why did I have to put myself into a different persona to make other men like me? I've had enough of having to fight against other women for this guy's attention when he's out here Snapchatting 30 other women. And I'm just that one little split moment in his mind. For what reason? Why?
And it's really interesting. I think you could just put it down to that's what everyone else was doing. You wouldn't say that you didn't get any attention at home. Like, you
knew. No, I was people that loved me and people that cared about me for the way that I looked and for my smarts and my personality and everything.
Yeah.
But I still only cared what other men thought of me.
So it just shows, you know, because sometimes psychology will pinpoint that on neglection at home, but that was not the case for you.
Mm.
It just shows how when we're in our little 12-year-old world, we've got some really interesting ideas about what's important and what's not.
And I think it's sad that there were other women that were experiencing that as well, but we don't talk about it because they normalize the fact that you have to have somebody in your life. There has to be somebody that you're talking to. Oh, who are you Snapchatting at the moment? One of the first questions I remember asking people when they started dating people or, like, talking to somebody, I'm like, oh my God, what do they look like? Because you always cared whether the person you're talking to is better than the person your friend's talking to.
That's so interesting.
Did you guys want to do that?
Not really.
Oh.
I had one lover in primary school.
Oh, shut up.
I didn't have a man, so.
But I know what you mean. It's like that kind of like judgment. It's not really fair on the people either, because when people are like judging people's boyfriends. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, it just shows that you having a boyfriend is not for yourself at 12 years old. It's it's to be subjected by everyone else.
Some people don't grow out of that though, which is the scary part. Like, I'm glad you've grown out of that and you're reflecting on it now, but it's like, Some people really don't. That's scary.
Well, not even 5 years. More like 8 years ago, my friend group was involved with a male friend group. And it always was like, oh, which one are you picking? Mm. Oh, and she's dating that one. Oh, yeah. She's dating this one. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Let's just all switch it up and let's just date each other's. It was just a whole situation.
Y'all were acting like it's One Direction.
No, well, I was going to say you guys just wrote the script for Love Island.
I feel like I had this whole experience that a 16 to 18 year old had at the age of 14, which is crazy because that just shows how heavily ingrained male validation and male personas and everything that this 80% is taking up, when us women now have to fight for our 20% to get this 80% to make us feel 100%.
So at the end of the day, your popularity in primary school and intermediate and sometimes even high school doesn't come down to how smart you are or what you do on your weekends or what sports you play. It's actually just about the presence of a male figure. And we talked about this in our timing episode, you know, why are males the most interesting thing about us?
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you experience as primary school, something we experience now today as we're entering our 20s. But it's not just male validation that we seek, like within that 20%. It's also the way other women have treated us. I feel like us women always need to try and fight against other women to get to the 20% that is actually being seen.
So for me, this experience of being pitted against each other, I think retroactively, I realized that I experienced it in the primary school equivalent in the Philippines. When I was part of like the kind of smart kids friend group, I was one of the top students. I think like at the time, I was just like happy to have friends. And I thought it was like really cool to be like in the, you know, like technically we were like kind of the popular friend group because we were like the smart kids at the time. But I was also like keenly aware of the kind of competition that we had between us, you know, who was going to be like the number one student. And I liked to think that it didn't affect our friendship. But, well, I'm clearly not very neurotypical, and it was showing when I was a kid. I was a lot more socially awkward than I am now. I do feel like the people that I was friends with at the time kind of saw that as something to kind of jump on to like talk bad about me and to kind of put me down. And I remember it was like heartbreaking as like an 8-9 year old just finding out that my friends that I treasured, like, were, like, talking so bad about me and thinking I was, like, the weirdest person ever. At the time, I thought maybe it was, like, a me problem, like, and I think I had really toned down my personality for a while because of it, like, growing up, because I was, like, the formative years, you know? But I've realized now that, like, I think part of it was definitely the fact that we were all competing for that top one spot because we were all ranked on our grades. It's like we want to be the kind of girls that were at the top of the list. And it's like, if you can, like, weed off one of them for being strange and not fitting your idea of, like, what a normal kid is like, I think that definitely played a role. And it makes me sad to think about how that competition element had basically like given me such a dip in my self-esteem growing up.
Yeah. I think it's really sad to see the fact that women have to keep fighting and keep working towards proving ourselves, and the fact that that has now turned onto each other rather than supporting each other and being the girl's girl. It's like, I don't care what you think of me. Like, I don't care about you anymore. It's all about me. If we keep doing that, we're going to actually lose those friendships and we're going to lose a core aspect of ourselves because we don't have that support system when we feel low or when we feel high. Mm. You need your girls. And I think it's really important to have your friends and have people close to you that will support you. And it's really heartbreaking to hear, Jimena, that you didn't have that when you were in primary school because you actually had to fight to prove yourself constantly and they used your personality against you. I'm happy that you're not friends with them anymore because that would be really heartbreaking to hear. But the fact that that even happened in the first place is so sad, and I really don't want anyone else to experience that, and I want us to move towards being kinder to ourselves and being kind with each other and build up that 20% that we have, because if we work together, we can fight for 50%. We can fight to own our space and take up space and live our own lives.
The idea that women are competing for like this small share of opportunities, this 20%, it's obviously going to trickle down and affect your female friendships. And when you live in your little teenage bubble of only a few can be liked, only a few can be admired, or a few to be the popular girls, it's hard. It's just a symptom of the larger system that pits women against each other. I wanted to share a story about my high school experience. In year nine, I was in one of the more popular friend groups, but in year 10, this completely flipped and I got discluded and quite severely bullied by my old friend group. I remember thinking at the time, half my year group hates me. I don't know how true that is now, but that's what it felt like. They had turned all of my friends on me, the ones that were associated with them and the ones that weren't. Like, they went out of their way to let everyone know what they thought of me. And it was, a lot of it was based off lies. I didn't try to convince anyone that it wasn't true. I didn't really share my point of view. Like, I didn't fight back or anything, which in hindsight now probably made it flourish more. But I think at the time I just wanted to not create drama and not give them anything more to go off. But it really, really broke me as a 16, 15-year-old girl. From that point on, it completely changed who I was as a person. Like, my walls went up after that happened. Like, I don't think I've really, like, let anyone in. I've never really had many girlfriends after that because it was so traumatic. Well, it makes you realize the way that we treat each other as young women has lasting consequences. If you don't snap out of that mindset of competing against each other and trying to push each other down to bring yourself up, you're going to turn into a mean woman. And that's actually just embarrassing, to be old and to be mean. If you don't get taught that that behavior is not okay as a child, it doesn't fade. It follows you into adulthood. And that's why we see mean women. So yeah, it really affected not only my mental health, but my security within myself, which was the same experience you had. And I started to second guess, were the things that they were saying about me, were they true? And I basically went into this little shell. I was so scared of like half my year group because I didn't have control of the situation. Someone could just yell something at me across the corridor or something. So this was quite stressful for me because I didn't have any control over the situation.
Well, I mean, there's just like no factual evidence of what they're saying. So for you, you felt like you had to really calculate everything that you had to say or do, because if anything you said or did, they would put it back on you and use it as a reason to bully you again. Yeah. And again and again.
And people thrived off having one person to not like. Honestly, I swear some people bonded over it. And I don't know if it's because I was just so sad at the time, but just the world seemed like a happier place for everyone else because finally there wasn't a group against a group. It's a lot easier to push force when it's 1 versus 30.
Mm.
Yeah. However, there is light to the end of the tunnel for this story. 5 years later, a few of them actually sat down and apologized to me. So yeah, it highlights that people, first of all, can change and they can grow and reflect on their own experiences. But the damage was already done. So I think as much as we can talk about how we were socialized into being pitted against each other, you do need to take some accountability for your actions because there's no circumstance where it's okay to be a human being. Whether you're 12 or 124, you should hold more accountability over yourself towards those later years. But yeah, it was really cool to see them be like, actually, this happened a long time ago, but it still wasn't okay, and I'm going to put it right.
Well, in a way, wouldn't that like heal kind of a sense of your past? Realizing that people are growing up and we're actually becoming kind of nicer to each other and wanting to rebuild those friendships. And although, as you said, you can't take away the scar that you've already made. Mm-hmm. You can't just stick a plaster over it and call it a day. But actually pour time into healing something that they know they did wrong. Now there's going to be stronger bridges built because it's actually built off kindness this time and not hatred.
It's interesting to think about like the consequences of these actions. Like, it's really good and hopeful that, like, you know, as people we grow and we realize that how we've wronged people, you know. I'm sure in our times, we probably wrong people too, and we think about it.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely.
Nobody's perfect.
But we also have to acknowledge the consequences are long-lasting. Like, for me, I think these experiences, this just this general feeling of having to compete against women, like, a mixture of personal experiences and just society in general. Like, I think I've gotten really, like, competitive in my head. Like, I'll be, like, in a space and I'll be like, oh, how am I better than everyone? And it's like, not in like a I'm the best way, but it's like in a way that's like, how do I prove that I deserve my spot kind of thing? And it's like, again, it's like women are, again, constantly on edge because we're like, oh, we have to fight for that. Again, tiny ass spot. Hear me out. What if we all band together?
What if we all band together
and work together to expand this 20%. It sucks that this need to compete with other girls and then women as we grow up, we start attacking other people for their individuality. You know, that was my main takeaway from my experience. Like the fact that you're like, oh, well, I need to find a leverage over this person. So I'm going to attack something about, I'm going to attack their personality. You know, it's like, that sucks. And we need to learn to uplift each other and like celebrate all the different women that make up this collective.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we're not born mean. We're not born cruel. We are socialized into it. And if we are socialized into it, we can socialize out of it and we can unlearn those habits and instead learn to support, uplift, create, like, an abundance for each other, you know. I think we got told a lot when we were young, if we all looked the same or if we all thought the same, the world would be a boring place. But I don't think a lot of people take that on board. And that can definitely go further as well into all sorts of issues we have in society and all the minority groups out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sad to see that women are still bringing each other down in like the workplace or in more matured friendships. And I think that just shows how socially entrenched this fighting for the 20% spot is that older women are still playing this game.
Like Hazel just mentioned, the fact that there are adult mean girls that we still have to battle through in the workforce is what makes me really worried about for somebody that's about to finish her degree and about to enter that space for the first time. I'm worried that I'm going to be essentially thrown back into high school and have to fight for my spot, having to actually prove that I deserve this position, that I'm educated and that I deserve to be here and not be belittled once again by men or the mean girls. I deserve to be at the spot and I deserve to take up my percentage.
Well, we're seeing tall poppy syndrome all over again, but just in one demographic.
Do you guys feel worried about entering the workforce because of this like adult mean girl tall poppy syndrome aspect?
Yeah.
Or is it just me?
I feel nervous about entering the workforce point blank, but the thought of also having to deal with people questioning my right to be there when I've already got a job, when I've already proven that I have the right to be there, that does stress me out. That's the last thing you want to deal with, especially at work. You know, your work is your workspace. You're there to work. To have a little high school PTSD moment would just be awful.
I don't feel like I'm going to be underrepresented in my potential field per se, but I've got real bad like imposter syndrome and it worries me to have to feel like I have to fight for the 20% because then part of me is like, do I deserve to be part of that 20%? And it's like, it's a sucky feeling to just feel like you have to fight for such a small percentage.
I honestly think with these, you know, mature women scooping so low, they probably won't even be going after our work product. They'll be going after our looks or maybe like a joke that we said.
Like, yeah, they're low blows. Like, they're going to go for the low blows. The truth of the matter is that they're not going to judge you based on your work input alone. So they're going to start doing low blows and tearing you down for other things. What happens is that it contributes to the fact that women are so easily scrutinized by men, by other women, by everyone.
Well, I think this just leads back to the question that sparked this whole episode is, should women be kinder? When being nice helps and versus when it hurts. Times when kindness helps is when we're building those friendships, building trust, building a community and having that womanhood. But there are times when kindness hurts us, and that is when we are being taken advantage of, when we are being overlooked, and when we're expected to keep the peace, how Hazel was expected to keep the peace by not saying anything during her experience. Jamina, when you had to keep the peace by just ignore the fact that they were bullying you based on your personality, it is hard to find a balance of when you need to be kind enough to be a nice human and to build those friendships, but you also don't want to allow your kindness to push you over and fall to the bottom of the 20%.
Well, especially when we have these like stereotypes pushing on us that when a woman is assertive, she's bossy and she's mean. But then if we don't stand up for ourselves, then we're just a pushover.
I guess we need to learn to judge our circumstances independent of these ideas. Like, we need to think critically about when we should show people more kindness and when we should stand up for ourselves as to not get taken advantage of.
So we don't really have an answer. Like, we've tried to answer this question of should women be kinder, and you just can't.
We can afford to be kinder to each other, especially as women, when we see the consequences of this competitive culture. But at the same time, we need to be able to think about the times when we need to stand up for ourselves because we're getting stepped on by other people. So we don't have an answer.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's podcast episode. We hope we've given you some food for thought on who you are as a person and what you're projecting into the world. Thank you so much, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.